Good morning, Grace Church. We hope that you are having a wonderful morning this Sunday morning. And if you are new, we want to extend a very special welcome to you. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning with us online. If you want to actually write down your name in the chat, maybe write down your location or something about yourself, we would love to be able to connect up with you in some way. So that is one way in which you can actually let us know that you're here and that you're watching with us this morning. And for those of us in the Grace Church community who call Grace Church home, thank you. Welcome back once again. I'm excited to dive into God's word this morning. We are looking at the Gospel of John. So we're going to be actually looking at John chapter 5. We're going to be continuing on in our series there. For those of you who don't know, my name is Josh Brown. I'm the youth director here at Grace Church. I'm originally from Ottawa, Ontario. I went to school there. I was raised there, finished high school, and actually moved out to Abbotsford, BC, which is where we're located here at Grace Church. And I went to Columbia Bible College for 5 years, studied youth work, and now I am the youth director here at Grace Church. It is one of my passions to be communicating God's word, to be teaching and preaching and showing and revealing who Jesus is, specifically to youth, although you guys will do this morning. And I'm momentarily stepping in on Sunday mornings for Pastor Ryan as he is on sabbatical right now. So we are continuing in our series through the Gospel of John. This is an eyewitness account of Jesus's life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. And I love John because it deals with the realities of who Jesus is. John has woven and formed his eyewitness accounts to communicate very specific truths as to who Jesus is. And this morning, we're going to be continuing on looking at the truth that John is communicating, saying that Jesus is God. So a lot of people say a lot of different things about Jesus, right? A lot of people, they have varying opinions about Jesus. Some people say that he is a moral teacher. Some people say that he's a prophet. He's a great public figure. He's a notable philosopher. And although some of those things, they may be true, John, who witnessed Jesus firsthand, he writes that in his account that Jesus' life is pointing to something bigger than those things, bigger than being a moral teacher, bigger than being a prophet, bigger than a great public figure. There's something bigger going on here. John is saying that Jesus is God. And there's actually proof for that. So we're actually going to look at some of those proofs today. We're going to dive into God's word. So if you want to flip in your Bibles to John chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verse 31 to verse 40 this morning. I was in September of 2017, I believe, I was in a car accident. I was driving down the road. I had just recently been hired on at Grace Church as a youth director, and I was driving down the road, coming home from a day of work, and as I was approaching an intersection, I got the green light to go ahead. So I was moving through this intersection, and as I'm in the middle of the intersection, a car in the oncoming lane made a left-hand turn into my car. It hit the side, and it caused my car to slide off of the road. The trunk of my car hit the light post, which sent my car spinning and flipping. And by the end of all of this movement, my car landed with the wheels on the ground, and I sat there confused and dazed. And as I got out of my car, I did what you do in a car accident. You exchange insurance and information and license, and made sure I checked to see if I was okay, and I was, and everyone else was all right as well. And as we finished exchanging information, I looked around to see who else witnessed this accident. And there was one person who, right at the end of all that crazy movement in my car, they drove up and they're like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then they drove away. And that was a witness. And I wish I had actually contacted them, because it turns out that later on, after we had made our claims, I spoke the truth of the situation that I was in, and the other driver, he lied about it. He tried to make it seem like I was in the wrong, like I was actually running a red light. And so there was a discrepancy that came forward, and we needed a witness. We needed someone who had an account or a testimony of what happened at this time. And so we put out the information. Have you seen this? Were you at this location at this specific time? Did you witness this thing? And so our insurance people looked into all the details in which they could. And I needed a witness. It turns out that at the end of everything, my details made more sense than his details did. And so I turned out to be okay, and I was 100% not at fault. But there was a need for a witness. I needed a witness to validate my own testimony, right? My own story about the account. And so I want you to hold on to these two words, to witness and to testimony, because we're going to look at those two words today in our time together. So we've looked at John's case in the past, all right? So I'm going to give you the context of what we've been looking at so far. We've looked at John's case that Jesus is actually unified with the Father, right? Jesus is unified. We've seen this at the beginning of John, how John lays this out. We've been working through this in the past little bit in chapter 5 of John. And so we saw that Jesus, he was working on the Sabbath day, and he healed a man by the pool. And we realized from that story that Jesus is greater than your ideas, and Jesus is greater than your idols. Then we looked at Jesus and his explanation of what has happened, and his explanation of his unity as the Son of God. And we learned that the Father is one with the Son. And then we've looked at Jesus explaining his unity as the judge. And we looked at how Jesus is at work as the just judge. And now we are nearing the end of this portion of chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at John's case as to how Jesus is actually supported. What's the evidence for this? And he's going to lay it out in three different ways. He's going to call them witnesses, the human witness, the missional witness, and the biblical witness. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at the witness of work. So three witnesses, or three pieces of evidence of Jesus' unity with the Father for being both God and being distinct from him. All right, so the first witness is the human witness. So verse 31 of our Bibles, it says this: "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John." So we're going to look at the first witness, the human witness, John the Baptist. Why is John's witness important? Why is John the Baptist important? Important. It's because in this context, the Jewish people, they actually valued what John had to say. They think what John the Baptist has said about Jesus is important. It's the difference between you hearing somebody randomly come up to you and say something about you versus someone you love saying something about you. So in my own scenario, someone can come up to me and they can say, "Wow, you know, you're not a sensitive guy, Josh." And for me, I'll hear that and I'll be like, "Oh, okay. I guess this person doesn't. I won't put too much weight into it. I'll consider it, but I won't put too much weight in. But if my wife says to me, "Hey, Josh, you know, you're not really being very sensitive lately," that hits me deep. That cuts deep because I put so much weight into what my wife says. What she has to say is very, very important to me. And so just like I value my wife's testimony, my wife's words, so the Jewish people, they valued John the Baptist's words. And John, if you actually read John's word through the lens of the rest of the Bible, it's very, very clear that John the Baptist is testifying about the nature of who Jesus is. He's saying what the gospel author John is also saying, and what the whole Bible is saying, that Jesus is God. He is unified with the Father in a distinct way, and they're God. Jesus is God. That this is the argument that John is laying out. So this is the first witness, is the missional witness. The human witness. The second witness is the missional witness. So our Bibles will say this in verse 36. Continuing in verse 36, it says, "For the works that the Father has given to me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent." Well, there's some heavy words. But I want to focus on the missional witness, the work. Jesus mentions that there is work that he has done that testifies about him. What work? What work has he done? Well, Jesus, he's begun the work of establishing and proclaiming God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom has come, and it is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And so he has been doing things that reflect the nature of God's kingdom, specifically restoration. That's one of those things. Check it out. Earlier on in this passage, in John chapter 5, what did Jesus do? Jesus healed a paralyzed man. Listen, when Jesus heals the paralyzed man, this is a physical, real, literal action. He healed this man, and that's absolutely incredible. But that also, in addition to that, it also functions as a representation for as a witness to what life is like in God's kingdom. Restorative life. Life that is brought back to the way it should be. That feeling that we have deep down inside that, yeah, something is amiss. All right? God's kingdom takes that and restores it to the way it should be. That's what God's kingdom is, and that's the work that Jesus is doing. And that's the second witness, the missional witness. And the third witness, the third piece of evidence, is the biblical witness. So verse 39, it says this, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me." The whole Bible, specifically in this context, the New Testament hasn't been written yet, so this would have been referring to the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. But the point is that the whole Bible actually is a witness to Jesus, is pointing out this point that Jesus is God, that they that God the Father and Jesus the Son and God's Spirit are unified as one being, as God. And so the whole Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. And why is it important that the Bible is testifying to Jesus? It's because the whole Old Testament bears witness to God, to Yahweh. And Jesus is saying that the whole Old Testament is bearing witness to him, to Jesus. And so in that, Jesus is saying that he is God, that he is Yahweh. The whole Old Testament points to it. And he's saying that the whole Old Testament is pointing to Jesus, then he's saying that he is God. So in sharing his distinction as the Son, yet sharing his relationship to the Father, Jesus is saying that he is one with the author of life and death, the one who has put things into existence, the one who brings life into being. He is one and he is him. And so we get to a problem in the text. I'm calling it the strife of life. So verse 40, look at this. Verse 40 says, yet in light of all of what I've just said, all these witnesses, yet you refuse. You refuse to come to me to have life. The people of the day, the Jewish people, they didn't listen to the witnesses. They didn't listen to the witnesses. This is the same problem that we actually face now, is that the people of our day don't listen to the witnesses. They don't listen to the witnesses of Jesus, the ones who have experienced him. See, look, we look to find the source of life in so many other places. Like so many other places. We look to our families to be the source of life. We look to our jobs. We look to entertainment. We look to sex and sexuality. We look to rules and regulations to be the source of life. We look to status to be the source of life in our lives. Right? Some of us we strive and we look to the status of being a grandparent so much. Well, I just need to reach that level and that will be the source of life. That will be the thing that will complete me. Right? Some of us are reaching for that position in our jobs. And so if only I can make it to this level, then I will be satisfied. That will give me the purpose. That will give me the meaning that I'm looking for. That will be the source of my life. Listen, I interacted with someone this past week who was striving to be an engineer. They were striving to be an engineer, and they were like, I don't even like it. I don't like what I'm doing, but it's going to give me a big bank account, and that's what matters. Listen to me when I'm saying this to you. Everything that you try and place in your life that is outside of Jesus will fail you. It will let you down. Some of those things may be good things. Family is a very good thing. Being a grandparent is a very good thing. But when those things become the things that we look to as a source of life, they will let us down. What happens when we no longer have a job? What happens when our grandkids fail us? When they move away from the desires in which we had for them, the things in which they should be striving for? Jesus is saying that you need to turn to Him for true life, never-ending life. This is the beauty of the gospel. This is the beauty of the gospel. Is when you witness the cross and what it means for you, you begin to experience life. When you witness the beauty of the Lord in that moment of Jesus' death on the cross and the forgiveness that it brings and the atonement that it brings and the life that it brings. This is the beauty of the gospel. When you treasure God's personal presence and He leads you, you begin to experience life. This is the beauty of the good news of God's kingdom in your life. It transforms you into something way better than what we could ever ask for. I was in a class in Bible college, a preaching class called homiletics. And there was one guy who was preaching from 2 Corinthians 5:17, speaking about being a new creation, being made new in Christ. And I love the image that he put forward and that he wove throughout his entire sermon of the idea of a caterpillar and how when it turns into a butterfly, it is no longer a caterpillar anymore. It has completely metamorphosized itself. It's transformed into something different, right? When we see a butterfly, we proclaim, oh, look, a butterfly, not, oh, look, a flying caterpillar. It's something totally new. Do you want to experience that newness? Do you want to experience that life? If so, witness the cross. Look to Jesus. Witness the glory of God and let it transform you. Witness the Word, both written and living. So why does it matter? Why does it matter that John is able to give evidence and point out these testimonies about who Jesus is? Why does all of this matter? It's because a witness will reveal their testimony. A witness will reveal their testimony. Listen, we all bear witness to what we pledge allegiance to. We all bear witness to what we pledge allegiance to. We will represent what we see and experience. So I am Canadian. I was born in Canada. I'm from Ontario, and I fit into a Canadian stereotype in the ways in which I say about, in the ways in which I say house, in the ways in which I eat poutine, or poutine if you're from Ontario and Quebec. We fit into these stereotypes because we belong, we pledge allegiance to those things. I fit into the stereotype because I am Canadian. I witness Canada. I experience Canada on a day-to-day basis. And so as a follower of Jesus, I should be bearing witness about Jesus. I should be giving a testimony about Jesus. John 15:26, it says this. When the advocate comes, this is God's Spirit, his personal presence abiding in our lives. When God's Spirit, the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father will testify about me. And you must also testify. You got to share. For you have been with me from the beginning. The disciples are to bear witness or to testify or to share Jesus. The followers of Jesus are supposed to go and share Jesus. So it is the call of the follower of Jesus to bear witness to the world around them. And as a follower of Jesus, we should be bearing witness, we should be testifying, we should be sharing Jesus in two ways. The first is intentionally. We should be intentionally sharing Jesus, intentionally witnessing about Jesus. So this is the conscious, active, purposeful sharing of the life that Jesus brings. God has given you a mind with creativity. Use it. Use it to share in the experiences and the life in which you have with Jesus. Genesis 1 points out and shows us this picture about Adam and Eve, who are representatives of humanity, and they are, as representatives of humanity, they are also God's representatives as well here on earth. And they've been given the ability to go and to make decisions, to have rule over the world around them, sharing and showing in God's dominion and his love. That's the same for you, follower of Christ. You have the ability to make decisions and to share in God's life and his love and to share of what life looks like in his kingdom. We were designed for this. It's in our bones. Go and do it intentionally. Please, please share in the good news of Jesus' kingdom with your words. And with your actions, people need to know who Jesus is. Your intentional words and actions bear witness. The second way in which we can bear witness to Jesus, first is intentionally, the second is unintentionally. Let me explain. This can only be done through experiencing Jesus face to face. This can only, as you begin to experience God and his personal presence begins to shape you and form you and transform you, your every action as a response to that will begin to pour out Jesus. This affects the way in which you share intentionally, because you can only properly share intentionally through God's Spirit. But the unintentional side, the moments in which you're at the grocery store and you just happen to do this and happen to do that, and it's able to lead people into and pull people into Jesus' life and his love and his kingdom. The actions that you do without even being aware of it, how you communicate God's truths to your children when you're frustrated. This is what I'm talking about, the unintentional times. The actions that you do without being aware will share in the life and the love of Jesus, but that's only when you bury yourself in the presence of God, when you submit yourself to his reign and his rule, when you let God's Spirit lead you, your words and your actions bear witness to Jesus. Everything that we do is going to bear witness about something. So what are you witnessing about today? So we're gonna bear witness together now by participating in a symbolic action that testifies to the life that comes from Jesus himself.